The reading is from Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the water courses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with pasture, and the mountains heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Let me say that. We're coming to the end. Here we are, one last Sunday of the year. No, I haven't completely lost it. I know not next week is in January. But today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday we celebrate Advent as we begin to watch and wait for the coming of Christ as the newborn babe in Bethlehem. But today is the end of the church year because the church marches to a different drummer. And as we come to the end of the year, who meets us but Christ the King? And so we gather one more time to sing and to pray, and we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." One more Sunday to get with the program, to get on with the agenda of Christ our King. I believe that's what Matthew is trying to do as he put together this gospel story and the way that the stories are woven together. Here we have Jesus' words just before his betrayal and his crucifixion. And it's as if at this moment he's giving his disciples one last glimpse of what they should be about. It's time to get on board with the kingdom agenda. It's as if Jesus is saying to them, "This is it, my friends, so get with the program. You know what to do. This is your chance to serve the King. Can we do it? Why is it that I am so uncomfortable every time I read this gospel lesson? On the last day, the King will sit on his throne and there'll be a reckoning. The goats will be separated from the sheep. Why did Jesus have to say this? Couldn't he just have said, 'Have a nice day, everybody's okay. I'm okay, you're okay.' Why does he make us, this Jesus, make us so uncomfortable?" It happened during an installation service for a new pastor in San Diego a few years ago. One of their members stood up and read this to their new pastor. They said, "Pastor, we have called you to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable." Now, I thought that was good. If I was a member of that congregation and I was calling a pastor, I would want a pastor to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I could vote for that. It sounds good in theory. But as a pastor, see, that makes me nervous. It makes me very nervous, but that's our challenge, isn't it? The first part isn't so hard for me. I can comfort the afflicted, visit the sick, comfort those mourning the death of a loved one, proclaiming the promise of resurrection. That's not the hard part for me, but afflicting the comfortable? That's the challenge. What about this amazing agenda of God's kingdom? You and I need to be challenged by Christ our King. "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of me, you did not visit me or feed me or clothe me." And what makes that so difficult for me is that I am one of the comfortable. In the light of our nation's immigration debate last week, the Church Council of our national body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, reaffirmed our strategy to accompany migrant minors with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunities. It's called AMPARO. AMPARO is a commitment by our church, the ELCA, to accompany vulnerable migrating children today and in the future. The strategy will respond to the situation in the Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, where these kids are being pulled into gangs and recruited to fight. It's led so many of these kids to migrate through Mexico into the United States. Next week, our Social Action Committee will invite us to write cards to our Congress members, urging them to enact protection for the DREAM Act. There's a note in today's bulletin about this action supported by Bread for the World and by the ELCA, our church. Our ELCA leaders quoted scriptures when they lifted up this issue. Can you guess which ones? When we welcome a stranger, we welcome a child of God. And truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of the family, you did it to me. Sounds a little political, doesn't it? Why, if you hadn't guessed, today is the day for politics in church. And I'm not talking about partisan politics, not talking about telling you who to vote for. I would never want to do that, and I would never want to get rid of the Johnson Amendment, which prohibits churches from doing that. But it's a day that we recognize that as Christians, we follow our ultimate leader is Jesus, the Christ. And that's the agenda that we are called to struggle with, to follow. And so that has to do with politics. Are you surprised? The early Christian community, Matthew's congregation, confessed Jesus as Lord. It was a political statement because there was only one king, one Lord, and that was Caesar. And if you confess Jesus as the king, as Christ, then you were breaking the law. You could be killed. Yet the first Christians, they persisted in confessing Jesus as the Christ. Now remember, Christ, it's not Jesus' last name. I thought of that when I was a little kid. David Jorstad. David's my first name. Jorstad's my second. Jesus is first name. Christ is his family name. It's his title, and it means the king, the anointed one. It's a political statement. Surprised? This one who came preaching, tearing down walls between people and barriers between people, and no longer will there be slave or free, male or female. Surprise? We shouldn't be, because that's at the heart of who Christ the King is. And that's what we try to proclaim all year long. Do you realize that every time you pray a prayer, either Sunday morning or other times during the week, I hope you pray it often, you're making a political statement. It's a very dangerous prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. It's about the agenda of Jesus, about our getting with the program, God's dream of shalom. So this week, the National Church of our Church Council, of our ELCA, called us to get with the program. And yeah, it can make us wrestle and can be uncomfortable, but I don't have to look as far as Higgins Road in Chicago to get uncomfortable. That's church headquarters. It's a lot closer to me. It's right at home. As I open the door to my closet, I'm challenged. I have a problem there. And the problem isn't that I don't see any clothes to put on. The problem is trying to decide which shirt to wear. I have many more than one. I have many more colors of clergy shirt than one. What will I put on? When I go to the pantry or the door to the refrigerator, the problem is that I can't find food. Maybe that would be a good thing. But the problem is I have to decide what I'm going to eat. Decide. In a nation where most of us have plenty, I live in such comfort that it's a big deal when one of the remote controls is misplaced. Can you imagine such a thing only happened to us, I guess? Heaven help us if we have to get up and change the channel by hand. God help us. And the good news, of course, is that God in Christ is helping us to comfort us, but also to challenge us. God is with us in Christ to help us struggle with what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. In the context of chapter 25, you have these three parables, 3 weeks in a row. The first one about the wise and foolish bridesmaids and the bridegroom who didn't, it was late. What do you do as you wait? The bridegroom doesn't show up right in time. They were waiting for Jesus' return. He hadn't shown up yet. What do you do? And then last week, the owner, the master that gave these slaves an enormous, two of them, all three of them gave him enormous amounts of loot. And two of them got with the program because they trusted their master and they had fun investing the talents. And they were welcomed into the joy of the dream of shalom. They got with the program. And today, the parable about the goats and the sheep can't imagine that they've done anything for the king. That's just how they've chosen to live, generously and joyfully and hopefully and kindly. And surprise, the king was present with them all along. Amongst the poor and the lonely and the cold and the despised, the king was there with the stranger and the weak and the prisoner. Here we have one last chance for Jesus' disciples before Jesus is crucified. The servant Messiah tells them that I am a king, but not the kind of king that you expect. I don't have beautiful clothes, I don't have a palace, I don't have a throne, I don't have an army. But my kingdom is God's kingdom, God's agenda of peace. The servant Messiah, the servant king, surprise. But Matthew gives us a clue at the very beginning of the gospel, what this gospel is about to be about. When the angel visits Joseph and tells Joseph that Mary is going to have a child of the Holy Spirit, he says to Joseph, and you will name him Jesus, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The very beginning of Matthew, he gives us a clue what the whole gospel is going to be about. That was what our reading was this last year, the Gospel of Matthew. And at the end, the way he finishes the gospel, before Jesus' ascension, he says, all power that has been given to me, I give to you. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always. Always until the end of time. Emmanuel, God with us. Come, you are blessed by my Father. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. As a stranger, you welcomed me naked and you clothed me. But what are you talking about, Lord? When did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink, a stranger and welcoming you into our homes? When did we come to you? And the king will say to them, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these members of our family, you did it to me. Your kingdom come, O servant king, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's agenda is centered on love. Love for the poor, the weak, the powerless. God has a special place in God's heart for those without a voice. The political platform of the King of Kings has to do with justice, shalom, peace, a right relationship between God and humans, and human beings then can have reconciliation. The outcome of God promises us that we too will have a right relationship with creation as we discover what it means to care for God's good creation. On this day, we proclaim the truth that God's kingdom is breaking into our world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That's what we pray. As far as I know, heaven's doing just fine, with or without our prayers. We pray, as Luther said, that God's kingdom will come into our very own broken hearts or our messy lives, and God's kingdom will come in and through us, God's political agenda manifests in the world right here and now on this earth. On this day, we tell the truth that God's kingdom is and will come, and when it comes, it gives power to the powerless, and the weak are lifted up. That will be Mary's song, the mother of Jesus, in a couple of weeks. The weak will be lifted up as she is lifted up. Now we're coming to the end. I promise I'm almost over. My sermon's almost done. But let me say a few words about our last hymn of the year, our sending song, Joy of the World. Most folks I know think of it as Christmas or Advent, and that's fine. We'll sing it then too. In the old red book, it was in the Advent section of hymns. In the green book, it was in the Christmas section. In our cranberry book, it's the last of the Advent section, so committees could never agree. And this text, though, was pointed out to me by a friend who is an organist, choir director. He said years ago to me, look at the text. It's really about Christ the King. It's about the agenda of God's kingdom. It's all here, my friends. God rules the world, my heart and yours. But there's more, because it's not just an individualistic relationship. God rules the world through truth and grace and makes the nations prove. Isn't that what Matthew said? When the king comes, then the nations will bow down. Now all nations follow God's agenda, caring for the poor and the hungry and the weak. Now peace comes not through weapons, but peace will come because of the wonders of God's love, the wonders of his love. Future and present, heaven and nature are singing in a harmony, and you can just hear it as we sing. Right relationships are restored, that shalom. Heaven and nature finally in harmony. And earth too, such music is cosmic, will sing with the floods and the rocks and the hills and the plains. Salvation is for all cosmic, not just for you and me, but it's for all of God's children. Because God loves all the children of the world and for God's creation as well. Surprise. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. That's the outcome of Christ's politics. Can you imagine that? Having something like joy as an outcome of politics? But that's the result of God's kingdom agenda. Shalom, peace, joy. At the end of another year, we see Christ the King. And once again, we have a powerful, hopeful reminder that's given us today. So whenever you come to the end, maybe it's the end of your day, or maybe it's the end of your wits, or maybe you're at the end of your rope, or maybe the end of your hope, or the end of trying to keep everything together, the end of trying to pretend that everything is all right because it isn't so good right now. When you come to the ever end of whatever it might be, even the end of your life, it will be the same Christ the King who will greet you at the end, Emmanuel, our King, who is with us. And as you come to the end, that one standing there will be ready to welcome you with open arms and say, come and inherit this joyful kingdom. It was prepared for you. Do not be afraid, my child. I know who you are. You are my beloved child. And you know who I am too, because you've seen me before. My name is Emmanuel. Surprise. You see me in the face of your neighbor. I've been with you every step along the way, and I will always, always be with you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. That's just who I am. Emmanuel. Amen.